I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The 49ers, their offense was locked in for four quarters. Their defense got locked in the second half. And then apparently, according to the guys themselves, everyone started, you know, playing the it ain't business, it's personal, after the yanking of Deebo Samuel's leg. He gets tackled on the field, and as players are getting up from the pile, yanking on Deebo Samuel's leg occurs. He was not happy about it. Kyle Shanahan was not happy about it. George Kittle was not happy about it. Nick Bosa said, we weren't happy about it.
The offense helped flip it. I think they're doing a little dirty stuff to our offensive guys, and I would not piss off the dudes on offense, especially Deebo, because he'll make you pay.
I would not piss those dudes off. Yeah, I mean, across the entire 49ers roster, that feels like a pretty good way to go about business. Were the Seahawks on the edge of the rule book there, specifically, intentionally, under coach command? Maybe so. I don't know.
No, that was improvised.
If maybe
it was being cute. You see that in basically every other game. But when you do it as the underdog, all you're doing is telling the team that's better than you, oh, okay, we're going to play that way. The team that's better is the one that can get away with stuff like that. The team that's worse usually has to pay for that later.
Well, and just with all the injury histories, with Deebo nursing, you know, ankles, knees, and hamstrings, no one wanted anything to happen. When asked why he was laying there, he said he was laying on that ground, not because he was hurt, but to cool off.
I stayed down a little because I almost lost my temper. And you can see the definition of our team of IGYB, I got your back. And then second half, they scored at the end of the fourth quarter, like, no, you can have it. But at the end of the day, I felt like that turned our team up a notch. And as you can see, we just went out there and made plays.
The one guy who is probably the worst on the 49ers sideline at masking his emotions in a game is the head coach himself. Kyle Shanahan, he was pissed. You could see the spit coming in between his teeth as he was yelling at someone about what he had seen.
He's got a feel for it. It definitely makes me nervous on some of it.
I pushed the wrong button. Here is Kyle on how angry he was watching Deebo get yanked on.
I was worried that he was hurt on it. I lost my mind a little bit on that. But yeah, I was real concerned that he was hurt on it. You know, I didn't like how that looked. I thought it looked pretty bad and the intent of the play. So I think that pissed a lot of people off. I think it pissed our team off. And I think you can kind of feel our team react to that after. I wish we were like that from the first play always. But sometimes when some stuff motivates the guys, I think it was cool to see us rally together. And I know Deebo was bothered and it was cool he came back and answered.
I mean, everyone's fired up to play postseason football. Everyone's fired up. The whole league is fired up this weekend. You could just see it in the way guys ran and hit and played all over the place. But the 49ers, they did. They got to scratch that. This just got personal. And for a team that when they get rolling, they're really hard to stop. I get Ray, what I guess I'm trying to say basically is that without any injury or outcome, I hope somebody pulls on Deebo's leg next week too.
You don't want to take that chance. Because with his history, if somebody wanted to actually do it and finish the job that Ramsey didn't finish, you might lose him. So, yeah, you don't want that.
Speaking of guys with legs, though, that you want them to keep and keep using, Deebo talked about how Brock Purdy is able to just extend those plays.
It's great to see, you know what I'm saying, the things he do back there when you think he's sacked and his little slitheriness of getting out of stuff. it kind of makes us a little tired because we got to run around too to try to get open, but it works. So, I mean, long as Brock doing his thing, you know, we're going to ride with him.
Slitheriness. That's a good way to say it, Ray. I mean, this kid takes what is at best a 3 or 4 Mississippi league and turns it into 6 Mississippi, 7 Mississippi, 8 Mississippi, 9 Mississippi. He is stopping to reload on some of these throws. He is one bad-intentioned defensive end away from maybe not playing again. So he needs to find a middle ground there a little bit. But boy, the play to Brandon Ayuk that didn't turn into a touchdown in the corner of the end zone. Ray, do you realize that that play actually took 3.5 days to run? I mean, it took forever to run that play because he was out there. That was a 12, 15-second NFL-long play. You don't get that in the NFL. Nowhere. This kid has got, I don't know, again, if I knew what it was, I'd bottle it and I'd sell it. I don't know what it is. But I'm telling you, I know it when I see it. And this isn't one of those Joey Bart hear it off the bat moments. I mean, if you aren't coming around on Brock Purdy a little bit, yourself even, Ray, I don't know what it is you could possibly be looking for other than, you know, the only thing you can hold against him is he hasn't done it over the duration of a 10-year-long career yet.
I'm not holding anything against him. The only thing I'm saying is he has advantages that most quarterbacks don't have.
Who cares? So did Jimmy Garoppolo. He did very little with it. So did Nick Mullins.
No, he didn't
so
do very little with it. That simply falls.
Well,
he took a team to a Super Bowl and took another one to a conference final in 3 years. That's not very little.
Well, it was a little enough to where, even with that level of success, they moved heaven and earth in an attempt to replace him.
And
so
then
the single biggest evaluator of the position was so thoroughly out of love with whatever Jimmy provided that he was willing to move on.
And yet, when he had a chance to move on by just releasing him, he re-signed him. So he's not, you know, he didn't hate him that much.
Well, they didn't just straight up release him because they were trying to get something back in a trade.
Well, yeah, okay. But if you hated him that much, you'd have just given him a cardboard box and taken him to the street. No, Purdy has done well. I mean, I'm not enraptured with it, but I don't have to be. All I know is he's been given a golden opportunity, and he has not squandered it in any way. But you're right. He does like to hold the ball a little longer than he should. And he'll get religion sooner or later at some point.
His average depth of target on Saturday was 12.5 yards. That's the highest of any starting quarterback for the 49ers in a single game since Jimmy Garoppolo back in 2017 against Houston, where his average depth of target was 13.3. That was just Jimmy's second start. He makes his debut throwing a garbage time touchdown pass against Seattle. Then he gets a start in Chicago, at Chicago, wins. Gets a start in Houston, and wins. As a matter of fact, he won all five of those first starts with the 49ers. Brock Purdy has done so much so soon under real pressure that Jimmy wasn't under at all, really, at the end there of the 2017 season. It's just, it's an incredible story. Beyond it being an incredible story and fun to tell around the campfire, like, if you told me Brock Purdy was drafted somewhere in the first three rounds and it didn't have this amazing, or again, the incredible thing about Brock Purdy was the origin story. Now that we're kind of over that, and he's only being evaluated on, well, what are you actually doing in these games? He just threw one of the all-time how you like dem apples playoff games in 49ers history. History. He was outstanding. Few balls fluttered early, maybe a little nervous, maybe a little wet that afternoon on the football, had a few balls sailing, and had a couple of those not falling just mercifully to the ground. Sure, the whole day could have been much different. And if ifs were fifths, we'd all be drunk. I mean, Brock Purdy, when it mattered, was awesome. He was awesome. And his day, which is measurably only defined as awesome, could have been even better if Ayuk holds on to that just right in his hands in the corner of the end zone. He was officially out of real estate. He didn't have any room to change his mind. He was so along the sideline and in the corner of that end zone. But Brock Purdy, had he completed that play, that's one of the all-time postseason plays in the history of a franchise that is basically known for its all-time postseason plays.
Okay. I mean, I don't really have a response. I mean, it just, yeah, if he makes the catch, it's something you remember. It's also the wild card, and these guys are playing for much more. That's the kind of catch that gets remembered, A, if it gets made, and B, if it gets made, like in a conference final. But it would have been a hell of a catch, no question.
888-957-9570, Gene in Oakland. What do you got, Gene?
Hey, fellas. So, Ray, you know, I've been following you for many years now.
Sorry.
I totally respect you. I love what you have to say and all. But I just getting a bit annoyed with, you know, people underplaying the importance of the quarterback position for the Niners. You know, Brock Purdy has been, as you say, Damon, been nothing short of amazing so far. And all you have to do is look at all the other quarterbacks that have played with this team under Shanahan. I mean, you got, you know, Beathard and Mullins and Hoyer, who won about 25% of their games. And you got, you know, Jimmy G, who's won about 72 or 3%. Even the golden boy, Trey Lance, you know, won four out of, you know, he's 50-50, won four and lost four. So, you know, Jimmy won over 70%, and this kid has won 100%. They're doing an amazing job, and they're doing an important job. So, you know, let's give them credit. Let's give them their due. This kid, you know, frankly, he's starting to remind me of Joe Montana, just like, you know, he was reminding Pete Carroll of Fran Tarkenton, another great Hall of Fame quarterback. I wouldn't be surprised if this kid goes on to have a great career.
Well, here's one thing I do know right now. I mean, I don't need any. He is your starting quarterback next year. You know, Trey Lance is not going to be competing with him for the job. Trey Lance is going to be starting postseason, or I should say preseason games next year, because you don't have your regular season starting quarterback starting preseason football games anymore. Brock Purdy's not starting preseason football games for the 40. He is the quarterback. This is his team now. Saturday, he cemented himself in that. It's done. It's done. And, you know, for the guy on the text line saying, boy, you talk a lot out of your mouth about Jimmy. Look, I shouldn't have said Jimmy did nothing, but because he did do things. But as he was doing those things, completely healthy, they were trying to move on from him as fast as humanly possible. So forget about what I thought of Jimmy Garoppolo. The head coach and general manager of the 49ers, who knows more about his quarterback than anyone else on the planet, had seen enough. We can't wait to see more of Brock Purdy. There's no level of we've seen enough here. There's something going on, and he's making plays that Jimmy didn't make. Full stop. Full stop. This kid needs a wheelbarrow. His nuts are so big.
First of all, you. Secondly, you always talk out of your mouth because that's the orifice that you're supposed to use.
Where words come from, yes.
Yeah, so maybe the text guy wants to rethink that analogy.
Was there another point to make, or did you just want to say the words come out of mouths?
Well, I mean, what do you want me to... do you want me to just say, yes, you're right? Is that... I mean, he's played...
It would be a first.
He's played... No, it wouldn't be a first. He's played very well. I have not said that he hasn't.
Right.
The only thing...
It feels so begrudging to hear you even say, yes, he's played well. You're such an anti-homer. You're an awayer.
No, I wasn't rooting for Seattle.
If Brock Purdy played for any other NFL team, he'd be all you want to talk about. But because
absolutely
he's a Niner,
not.
You don't want to talk about him.
No, he's got the best gig in America. He's playing on a team that doesn't need him to be spectacular. That's the only point I've made throughout his entire tenure. I'm okay with that.
Right, but look at what it is the hell you got if he does play spectacularly. You got a team that's probably right now the chalk to win the Super Bowl.
I'm not sure that that's true. I could think of two teams right now that I think are probably better than them.
Well, the NFC's chalk.
I'm not sure that Philadelphia is not better.
If Brock Purdy played for Philadelphia, you'd be talking about him all week.
I wouldn't. Have you heard me ramble on about Jalen Hurts? And he's had a hell of a year.
He says he might be an MVP.
He might be. Have you heard me go on and on about him?
No, because we haven't had a chance to really bring it up.
No, we could bring it up anytime we want. This
well,
is America.
I guess my point is
that's why
we're talking about Brock Purdy today. So if you had things to say about Brock Purdy today, and that'd be great.
I have said those things.
You're going to keep saying them until 6 o'clock.
I think we can find other things. You'd be surprised.
Not really. I mean, today's a day to focus on what the hell this guy just did. The 10th playoff game in the Super Bowl era with 330-plus passing yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. He was unbelievable. And he's buying minutes in plays that wouldn't exist for any other quarterback. I don't know if look at it this way. Trey Lance was built to be a little bit of a runner. He's never going to be as fast as Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy's got scoots. And he's smart enough to realize, I'm not going to run, you know, quarterback power with this. I'm just going to buy time. He's got a feel of that pocket that guys who are picked dead last in the NFL are not supposed to have. He is just wildly comfortable in a league that forces guys to be uncomfortable.
He's almost too comfortable in that he does play with a ball in the cup pocket longer than he should. And once he faces a team that can pressure him, he's going to have to make quicker decisions. And if he continues to make the ones that he's making, no question, they'll probably be a Super Bowl team. But, you know, the tests get increasingly difficult the further you go. That's all I'm saying.
Anthony in San Francisco. What do you got, Anthony?
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you for taking my call. All I want to ask is, Ronald, what will make you smile, my friend?
557.
Is all smiles right now.
557 makes me smile.
Excuse me?
557, quitting time. Always good.
Understood, but we are playing. We're making more first downs per throw. The offense is humming. This is what the Empire has been waiting for, to be dominant in offense, because in defense, we've been there. That's what has always gotten us to where we needed to be, or almost. And now it feels closer because we have a dominant offense, Rado.
You got an offense that's certainly along for the ride, that isn't just watching its defense pull it into and as deep as it can into a postseason.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.